everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Angela with the podcast Refocus with Angela Stevens. I am delighted and excited to introduce you to our guest today. He has been on the show before, and I asked him to be on our show again to talk about a very popular topic, which is mindfulness. I think a lot of people know about it, but they don't know about it. And so I went to our expert to find out more. So our guest today is Robert Powell. He is a former CEO of a global fashion accessories brand. He now helps business leaders and professionals in various industries from all around the world to identify and capitalize on their strengths to achieve greater professional and personal success. And in fact, I think he's awesome because he was actually somebody that I hired as my business coach. So, Robert, thank you so much for joining us today.
Great to be back, Angela.
Awesome. So, first of all, you've got to tell us a little bit about you. First of all, we talked a little bit about how you got in this business before, but when you work with clients, you work with them on mindfulness, you work with them on business planning, you work with them on a lot of different areas. Would you mind highlighting like what you do and what services you offer?
Okay. So I would say the primary function I help clients with is being able to function better and feel better. My clients are very smart. And by most standards in the world, they're very successful. But yet, because of their ADHD symptoms, they don't feel that they're successful, and they're not able to reach their full potential, which can be very frustrating. So I help them come up with better strategies in order to get done what they need to get done. And that's on a basic level. But then obviously on a bigger level is, well, what is it they need to get done? And I work with clients figuring out what is the most important thing for them to work on? And that can involve prioritization or could involve a look at the priorities.
Right. And, you know, as I mentioned, I had actually looked you up. I found you. I did my research. I'm a researcher at heart. And I found you and I looked at your reviews and you had some of the best reviews in the business. And that's why I chose you. I actually was a bit nervous starting out because I hadn't had a business coach out of 30 years of owning a business. And I remember at the time that I came to you, I have ADHD. I had three businesses. Things were a little overwhelming. And my son, who is a co-founder in our business, was leaving for college. And I remember that it was such a time of uncertainty that I couldn't just pull it together. And I credit you for that because I say it quite a few times on this show that you taught me how to think and transition my thought process as a CEO and not as the receptionist, the assistant, the salesperson, just a little bit of everything. And you helped me in hiring the right people, even though that was one of my specialties, hiring for myself, mm-hmm. It was a challenge. So you really got me back on track. And first of all, he did a great job to all of you listeners. And I thank him even to this day for that.
You're welcome. I remember the evening I got your first email.
And what did it say? I'm afraid to ask that question.
It was overwhelming. It was unbelievable. Everything that you were doing, but you have your successes, but more so everything you were working on the current time. Yeah. I had to sit back and refocus.
Yeah.
Interesting enough, on your email, but I'm glad. So glad that's been helpful. And I think the main message I gave you is the transition from working in your business to working on your business.
Yeah, that's correct. And in addition to that, just on a personal note, this is how awesome Robert is. I'll just say this. I was packing up my son to go to college. I was driving. I was by myself. And as all moms do, I'm so happy for him, but I was so sad. I was so sad and I could not talk to anyone. And I get this text from you and you said, look, how about if I just talk to you as a friend and somebody who's been there? And I couldn't even do it because I was so sad. And we were on video and you even held your arms out and you just said hugs because we couldn't see each other in person. And because of the pandemic and everything, and by the way, he does video coaching and he's fantastic. So again, as a person and as a coach, I couldn't highly recommend you anymore. And we've interviewed a lot of coaches who are really great coaches, but this is just from my personal experience. So again, thank you. But today we're talking about mindfulness, and there's a lot of confusion out there about who and what mindfulness is. I think it's a little overwhelming. A lot of people use the term, but they don't really know what it is. So could you talk to us a little about, first of all, on, you know, what is mindfulness and why is it important for business leaders or even anybody that's got ADHD to have mindfulness in their life?
You're right. There's so many different interpretations and opinions of what mindfulness is. For me, mindfulness is about developing a skill to be able to see more. Because when you see more, you can respond better. And when you respond better, you get better results. This could be anything from when you're in a conversation with someone and it gets a little difficult. How many times have you been in that situation, especially with somebody close, where afterwards you go, geez, why did I say that? Or why didn't I say that? Well, mindfulness is about being able to catch yourself in that moment and not saying something that's going to not serve you. When this can come into play when, you know, you've got an assignment, something important, a project you're working on, and that moment when you're about to leave it for something not nearly as productive, to be able to catch yourself. So there's a lot of aspects we'll get into, but it's basically to be able to have a greater view and an honest view of what's happening to allow us to respond better to it.
Right.
And it's a training. It's in the meditation, which is part of mindfulness, obviously, but it is something a little different, which we can get into later. In meditation, we focus on our breath. And then we notice when we're not focused on our breath, and we bring our attention back to our breath. That simple process can change your life when you can do it in real life. Because you're sitting, you're doing your work, all of a sudden a thought comes up and you end up being diverted, you procrastinate, and it happens. And it's always, and no matter what drugs you're on, no matter who you're working with, it's going to happen. You're going to get distracted when you're working. But the question is, how long are you getting distracted for? A minute? 10 minutes or the rest of the day? So what you want to be able to do is to catch yourself and notice, I'm not doing what I should be doing. And then make it a conscious decision. Okay, I'm going to bring my attention back to my focus. And that's, again, in meditation. You should be focused on your breath. And you notice when you're not. It's a victory. Clients initially say to me, I can't meditate. I go into thoughts. Of course you go into thoughts. That's what your mind does, especially with ADHD. But you don't want your thoughts to control you. You want to be able to control them. So when you notice you have these thoughts, that is not where you want to be, you just say thoughts. You catch it in meditation, and you non-judgmentally come back to your focus. And by building that skill in meditation, we can use that skill in everyday life.
So let's say you have an executive who is working at their office or home office today, and they are overwhelmed. They've got, you know, 50 projects they need to be working on, and they can't get their mind around it, and they don't know where to start. That seems to happen a lot. This is something they can do right at their desk at that very moment. Is that correct?
Angela, that's the magic word, overwhelmed. It's the most common challenge my clients experience. And yes, mindfulness can help that. That's actually, that and anxiety is the reason I started offering it to my clients. The ADHD brain, it's very easy for it to get overwhelmed. It doesn't help to push it through. By being able to center yourself after training with just a few mindful breaths, you can calm your mind down. And then the practice I recommend with clients, have a piece of paper in front of you. Write down top line, 5 things that are going on that are bothering you, that are overwhelming you. And then you'll find clarity on what it is you should be focusing on now. So it's a combination of mindfulness to calm yourself, and then a cognitive exercise to see what are the options and what am I best to work on. So the mindfulness calms you and helps bring you clarity.
Excellent. So, and you know, you hear about the example of the, airline attendant that, you have to, they always say if there's something going on in a aircraft or airplane that you got to take care of yourself before you take care of your child, right? I always look at that as even in business, the CEO has got to take care of himself and show that he, we're all human, but he has to be a leader. And this is a great exercise and a great opportunity to do this, to prepare to go back into that meeting with his staff members.
Totally. And that's only the start of it. So that helps him individually prepare better to do his work. Mm-hmm. But in my book, I think you mentioned it, the book I have, there's different chapters. So autopilot is one chapter. It's about our ability as humans to do things without thought. And it's great. If you're playing an instrument, you don't want to think about every note, right? If you're eating, a lot of times you don't have to think about what you do. So it's a good skill. But 85-90% of what we do every day, we do on autopilot. So it's a source of most of our problems, addictions, okay? Many times it's not people, they're not thinking, do I want that drink? Do I not want that drink? Do I want to smoke? It's automatic. In relationships, someone says something, you interpret the wrong way, immediate response back, okay? So what we want to do with mindfulness, you learn to do it, I call it the call pause button. There's a stimulus, and there's your response. You want to have a pause button there that allows you to take a moment to check in with yourself. What am I feeling now? What's really going on? And what's the best thing for me to do? Mm-hmm. And then your choice, rather than being automatic, it's a conscious choice. So that skill as a leader is invaluable. A lot less bridges of burn that you have to go back on. Gives you the ability to connect better with the person because you're not turning them off. And it just makes a more productive flow of conversation.
And this even goes back to our personal life, right? Because, the old saying of the first 5 minutes that you walk into your home sets the tone, right, for the whole evening. And this is where something you can be doing in your car before you walk into your home, or something if you're having a really bad day. Because especially with this pandemic that's going on, there's a lot of anxiety, right? And even as parents, it's our responsibility that we need to be able to hold it together and calm our anxiety. Because if we do that, that's going to help our children.
Totally.
Right. Totally. And even children, teens, children, they can all benefit from mindfulness as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should be a skill that's taught in schools.
It should be, especially. I listened to an article this morning about the lack of our children falling behind because of the pandemic and parents having to teach them at home, and they lose patience, right? And so I always say, if you don't have the skill set or you feel like you're struggling teaching or whatever, reach out to the best. Go find the best business coach. Go find the best tutor. Go find the best person that works for you. Not every coach is going to be right for every person, right? And I think that that brings me back to how I found you and the benefit that it showed me, because I really did the research to find the right person. And so, you deal a lot with ADHD people. Do you also work with just regular executives that just need help in mindfulness and in need help?
I'd say 80% of my clients are diagnosed with ADHD. 10% have the symptoms. They're not officially diagnosed.
Right.
And 10%, it's just bit mindfulness business coaching.
Right. Exactly. And what's interesting is many parents have children with ADHD, and our research is showing us that those parents, usually one of them has ADHD and they don't know it.
Yeah, that's actually how many of my clients were diagnosed. the kids get diagnosed and they go, well, I mean, that's what I've experienced too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'd say over half my clients, that's how they find out.
I'm one of those. And I did you know, my son was diagnosed in the fifth grade and I was diagnosed at 45 and I'm 52 now, you know, so, you know, it happens to us all. But again, when you find out, that's the time to not push that under the rug, but to embrace it and help and figure out what you need to do to be better in those areas. And that is why people like you are so valuable. And there's not a lot of people that are specialized in this area. And that's so great about you. I want to mention that you just actually, Attitude Mag, I always credit them. If you're a parent, Attitude Mag has an email list and I signed up for it. It gives you daily tips. They have webinars, they have podcasts, they have articles written by many different people. And what's interesting is I always credit them because they helped me raise my son as a single mom when I realized he had ADHD, and the value that I learned was amazing. And I own a 30-year executive search firm, and the executives that I've spoken with who have children who have ADHD and are struggling, I tell them about that and they're like, wow. And then come to find out, then they call me back and they go, I just got diagnosed with ADHD. So what we're saying is right on. And you just wrote an article. I was reading it this morning, as a matter of fact, and it is in the Attitude magazine. We could put this link on our website, but it is on procrastination and getting more done. And, you know, in my business, in my search business and in Refocus, the creative office, I talk to a lot of executives who say, two things. I'm behind before I start in the morning and I have a hard time getting started. Or they say, I almost get in a trance because I don't know how to move forward. Is that true?
Yeah. Procrastination, huge, huge issue. So in that article, I explained a system that I use with my clients and helping them in this area. It's called MW5. So let's start by talking about the five W's.
Okay.
The first W is what? Mm-hmm. What is it you have to do? And we mean exactly what's the first behavioral step you need? Because the ADHD brain, as we mentioned earlier, it's very easy for it to get overwhelmed. So for instance, simple thing. Let's say you had to design a new website. That concept itself could be overwhelming. But what's the first step? Maybe the first step is looking at competitive sites, do some research. Maybe it's sourcing out who it is that can help you. All of a sudden, it's more manageable. Same token, if let's say you had to organize your office, overwhelming. How about starting with your top two shelves in your bookcase today? So you want to define exactly what you have to do in a behavioral step. That's the first. The other is why. Why do you need to do this? Now, and we want to try to go beyond the obvious. I know, actually, I think I talked about this in the article. I had a client who was actually an ADHD psychiatrist, and her problem was getting her reports done. So we talked about the importance. And the first obvious importance was, you know, it's her job. And it's important that the next doctor sees what she had, with the work she's done. But there's something beyond that. Because of her problem with the reports, she ended up working to 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. And she didn't spend any time with her kids or her husband. And that was her main frustration. So I asked her if we could find a way that you could be home at a proper hour. How important is that? And that was her motivation. So you want to find the why. So now that we know that, we look at a W that most people don't even think of. Who? Just because you can do this, Angela, I think we've talked about this in our sessions. Just because you can do it, doesn't mean you're the one who should do it.
Right.
To me, my ADHD poster boy is Richard Branson. from Virgin Corporation. His number is ADHD, and his number one strategy from a young age was delegate. So you look at this task, does this make sense for you to do it? At what you're doing at your business, are you giving it the true value? Or is this better to be delegated to somebody else?
Which we did talk about in my session. I want to quote it here. What you said to me was, you said, Angela, you have a passion for helping people and you want to help them, but you need to hire people who will help you. That was a light bulb moment for me.
And that brought up the second part of who. It might not be, this job might not be able to be delegated 100%, but who can help you? Like, I've had clients, simple things that we're doing. They want to do an advertising campaign. So they want to do AdWords on Google. So they would spend, they felt they had to learn it themselves. They would spend weeks doing it.
Right.
When if they could afford it, it could make sense, hire someone to do it or get some help, someone that can help you do it. So that's the who, the third. So assuming you still got the job to do, we're going to go to the next ones, the next twos. One is where. Where are you most productive? Well, if you look online, all the other experts, quiet space, you know, no distractions. Well, I have clients, you put them there, they're going to go crazy. But put them in a Starbucks, at least when Starbucks are open, if they're open, they're great. They need to have some action happening in the back, some noise, something going on to work productive.
Yep.
I had another client who was he was actually studying for the bar exams, and which is very dense material. And no matter where we tried, I tried his parents' house where he lived, we tried the school library, tried his backyard, a park, nothing worked. Then he went to Niagara Falls with his parents, and in the back seat, he was able to actually study. So somehow the motion, if you ever had a colicky baby, right? Somehow motion calms him down. So I remembered that for my son. So I suggested he take the subway during off hours, find a quiet place, and just do a study in there.
Yeah.
So for a week, back and forth on the subway during the day studying.
Interesting.
And he's a lawyer.
Interesting.
So there's no right or wrong about where you would be best to do it. It's up to you. So what I do with clients, we experiment to find it, what's best. Mm-hmm.
And if you have children, talk to them. I know for my son, one of the things that he would say is that noises bothered him. This is so interesting to me. Noises, like if a fan was in the background, I never knew this. It bothered him so much. But if he listened to 70s and 80s music, he's a college student. If he could listen to music like that, he could focus.
Great. You know, a lot of parents' response was forget it, right? No way, not
acceptable. No music, right? And we did that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you look at results, what works. All our brains are different. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with the ADHD brain. It's just different. Mm-hmm. The name itself, and I shouldn't get started here, but the name is disgusting. Deficit disorder, okay? Sorry, it's neither of the above.
Right.
I'm sure you found that there's times when you are so focused on what you're doing, anything can happen around you, right? Doesn't matter. You're there. Mm-hmm. Your attention's there. You're like a ninja focused.
Oh, and I'm on fire. When I'm in the zone and I'm focused and I'm creative, you know, I never knew I was creative. I had a search firm for years that I ran that I still do and use some creativity. But when we started Refocus Creative Office, I was creating products that helped my son. I never knew I was creative. I'm having a ball. So when those light bulb moments go off, it's exciting.
Yeah. So the next W is when. I think we might even play this out. You know, the session, we end up coming out with things you want to accomplish during the week. So I'd say, all right, Angela, when are you going to take care of this?
And he's a little tough. I might add, new clients that come on board, he will hold your feet to the fire to get things done. And I love it. Hated it at the time, but I loved it. At the time, I had had a surgery on my right arm and I was suffering, still do, but I was suffering with a lot of pain. And I remember I had from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Those were my on hours. And for me, you might not even realize this, I did not take a lunch because I knew from 10 to 3, if I went at it full bore, I could get more done in those times. But the first of the morning and later in the day, I couldn't use my arm to write and type as fast. So you great. Learn yourself, right?
So that's great. So you jump to the advanced version, which is good.
Sorry.
There are certain times in the day that were most productive. And it goes beyond you're a morning person or an afternoon person. Mm-hmm. Potentially there's a time of the day when you're best at doing creative work. It might be another time when you're best dealing with people. Others, maybe when you're not quite as with it, it could be admin. So it's important to find that out when you're best. We're on the basic level in our discussions, I would say, when are you going to do it? And like most clients, you would initially say, I'll do it on Wednesday. And then I say, when Wednesday? So you then have to take out your calendar. And you say 2 o'clock. So one simple instruction I give, I found dramatically improved results. So you're going to do this Wednesday at 2? Great. Put it in your calendar. You make an appointment and you honor your appointment for other people with your clients. Aren't you as important?
Right.
On make a commitment to yourself. So that's the final W. Decide when you're going to do this. Put it in your calendar as a commitment. So then somebody initially was just called the W5s. So someone once asked me, what's the most important? And I realized that the most important thing is also what's the most important thing with all my ADHD strategies. And it's not a W, and that it's the M. And that's where the M comes in. It's mindfulness. Mm-hmm. The only way that you can make these changes properly to know what works best for you is to be able to slow down enough and be aware of what's happening. Notice when you're getting procrastinated. Notice when you're not working on what you should be doing and bring yourself back. That skill can change your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And people, for me, it's interesting during this pandemic are people who have ADHD, we go, 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 right? When we're on, right? Sometimes that can be a negative. For myself, it's interesting having during this pandemic, my husband has been home. He's an engineer, drives me absolutely crazy. He has to have the Excel spreadsheets, blah, 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 all that stuff. But he's a very calming person, which has been really helpful to know that things can wait. There are certain things that as ADHD people, we feel like I have to get this done. Like I got to get it done. But does it have to get done, right? So that's prioritizing, right? But in our minds, we feel like I got to get it done like now, right?
And that's an essential skill. The skill is being able to slow down. And I tell you, if you would have told me 10 years ago that I'd be practicing and preaching the ability to slow your mind down, I would have said you were crazy. It was always about being first, mm-hmm. showing I was number one. But all my experience shows that the quickest way to get there is to slow down, to know that you're going the right where you need to go, to be focused on it. Huge difference.
Huge. Huge.
Yeah.
I want to ask you this question. I had this asked to me 2 times in the last 2 weeks because I do have a search firm. And people would say, let's say they've been an attorney their whole life and they, you know, it's how they make a living. It's how they pay their bills for their family. But you can't, it's hard to make something work that's not working, right? And so their heart wasn't in it anymore. And I noticed that. And it was, in a way, in my opinion, it was a time that they needed to do a career change. But have you had client, have you had that experience where you've been working with a client where you've been really saying, hey, you got to get this done, you've got to try it, you got, and tried everything, but it wasn't working because maybe that wasn't what they wanted to do or their direction. Have you come across that? I was curious because I wondered, number one, can mindfulness help bring a person back, or is it better for you to have that honest one-to-one conversation of, hey, you know, maybe we change that law degree to something different?
Yeah. So on a smaller level, any of the homework, let's say we talked about after, you know, that you're going to follow, that you're going to do in between our sessions. It's not for me. It's got to be something that makes sense for you. Mm-hmm. So if you remember the question I always ask, is this important to you? Mm-hmm. Right. And I find if it's, if your answer is yes, but after 2-3 weeks, it's still not getting done. There could be something, and with this, at the strategy,
a block.
It isn't really what you want. So yeah, I'd say there's been probably, you know, maybe there's been a lot of shifts in priorities between home and family. But as far as significant career changes, maybe half a dozen people that saw a different way, something that could make them happier, that they can contribute more to.
Mm-hmm. Got it. That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about, so you have, I wanted to mention this because I was so, I'm impressed with you, but you have a book available that you've written, and where can they get your book? It is called, actually, Robert is the co-author of Mindfulness Intelligence. He even sent one to me, but it's a 10-week mindfulness training workbook. And they can order that. Where can they find that?
So first, the bad news is they can. It's just available for my clients because mm-hmm. it's the workbook. I work with them on them. However, I can offer something even better. I found it's impossible for me to work with all the people that reach out to me for help. Timing issues and also, honestly, just cost. So what I developed is an online course that, in a sense, mimics our first 5 sessions, some of the basic things I work with people on: goal setting, procrastination, prioritization, emotional health. So it's called, it's the first 5, and I'm happy to offer it for the rest of the month to your, all your listeners at a 50% discount.
Wow. Thank you from all of our listeners. If anyone's listening to this, take advantage of it because it's an investment you will never regret. It's when I signed up to work with Robert, it was something I needed at the time, but it was the best investment I've ever made. And I've even written recommendations about him about that. So we'll put that on our website, but, and you're going to give us information on how they can get that discount. Is that correct?
To get the link to the course, they can either get it from my website at robertpal.com.
That's Robert, R-O-B-E-R-T, and then it's P as in Paul, A-L, so robertpal.com, correct?
Right.
Okay.
So they can go to the course there, and then they put in a coupon discount code, and it's named after you, Refocus 50.
Awesome. Refocus or, 50, okay?
Yeah, or on your site, I'll give you, I'm sure you have the link posted.
Yep. We will definitely. So this is, first of all, this has been amazing. I've got 2 more questions for you. I know you're on a time limit and I'm so gracious that you agreed to do this again today. So one, can you give us a brief like overview of, or of an example, even a quick example of doing mindfulness? And then lastly, I have to ask this question about, I got to check back in with you when you get in your car and you're going to that meeting and you've got to have game on. What is it today that you're listening to? Because for all of our listeners, you can go back into our history of all of our episodes. And in, he was one of the first few that we asked to do this. And one of those songs has been Let It Be by the Beatles. I've had more people say that. And it's amazing.
Really?
Yes. And amazing. It's, yeah, more people than not. If you go back and listen, it's pretty amazing how many people heard that.
Was I the first?
Yes. And yeah, and many people heard it And they've written to us on our website saying that they heard this and it really made an impact. So
this is a huge part of mindfulness too, acceptance. This pain in life, right? You can't help it.
Sending your kid to college. I know. Divorce. I know. I get it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, what's optional is suffering. And suffering is created by not accepting the reality of what is, by resisting. So to me, let it be is perfect. It's my song.
It's your song. We don't get a second one? We don't get a second
one? We do get a second one.
What's one that gets you really going, that's exciting, that like gets you up?
It's, you know, unfortunately, part of ADHD, there's some mood swings sometimes. There's some depression. So what helps me always is the game by the Beatles, Here Comes the Sun.
Here Comes the Sun. I love it.
Even when, if you're feeling sad, if you connect with yourself, there might be that little piece of joy you could feel inside. And focus on that.
Well, like I said, I'm blessed to know you, blessed to have you in my life. So I don't know if you have time. Can you do us a quick mindfulness example?
Okay. So instructions, you don't need to focus on me during this. Maybe if you can have like something in the background, some waves or something, or maybe my meditation. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we start the meditation. This is actually one that I use with clients, help introduce them to the concept.
Can I do this with you?
I'd love you to do this with me.
All right, here we go.
So you want to be in a comfortable position. Some meditation trainers are very anal. You got to have back totally straight. It's like your head's connected through a wire to the sky. I'm not so anal. Be comfortable, but be alert. So let's start by closing your eyes and taking a nice deep breath in through your mouth. And then slowly breathe it out through your mouth. You want that out breath to be very slow. You must feel yourself letting go. That's great. Now what I'd like you to do while keeping your eyes closed is notice. Notice what your senses are sensing. Notice what you're hearing. There's obviously my voice and possibly other sounds in the background. Maybe the clock ticking, traffic outside. And even though your eyes are closed, notice what you're seeing. Probably some shadow shapes. And notice how your body feels, both inside and out. We should have a special session on the body one day. It's really an immensely powerful source of wisdom. But notice now how it feels when your feet touch the ground. How your back feels up against the chair. And notice your inner body experience. Any muscles you might be feeling. How your stomach responds to each breath. Now, bring your attention to your breath. Notice as it enters and leaves your body. Now, we're not talking about thinking about your breath. Feel yourself breathing. Now, that request, it sounded so simple. Just focus on your breath. But as I'm sure you experienced, even in this very short period of time, it's not simple. In fact, it's one of the most difficult things to do. And it's difficult because thoughts get in the way. Now, as you're continuing to focus on your breath, this time when you notice your thoughts, just notice what's on your mind. You don't have to get in a discussion or carried away with them, but just notice. Generally, these intruding thoughts can be divided into different categories. There's the future-focused thought. You could be thinking, what's up next? What do you have to do? What happens when the kids come home? Who haven't I called? It could be thoughts about the past. Things you could have done, should have done. And then, potentially the most damaging and common ones, judgmental thoughts. We constantly judge. And we judge ourselves. Possibly during the meditation, you might have judged how you were being focused, if you're being focused enough. You're judging if there's value in the moment. We're constantly thinking. They estimate we have over 50,000 thoughts a day. And that's the problem. Now they're taking your attention off the breath, which is your job and focus in the moment. And that's exactly what it does in life. Work doesn't get accomplished due to distractions. And when you look at it, so many of these thoughts are not true. Your judgments and fears get in the way. You misread situations. You can't see the big picture. Possibly you respond in ways that don't help you. And you experience increased stress. In all these thoughts, this seems to be a consistent message. I want things to be different than they are now. I want to have a better meditation experience. I want to be somewhere else. So much of this training is about keeping your attention on the only time that matters. Which is this moment. The past, it's gone. The future, it's important to plan for, but it's just a concept. Anything that happens in life happens in this present moment. That's where you make a difference. As you continue to practice being present, mindfulness, and meditation, and you're able to be more skillful in being in the present moment, you'll find your relationships will improve. Productivity will go way up. And one of my favorites, especially in a creative sense in business, I find that by quieting my mind, I allow space for something new and different, new opportunity, something to come up that's different. So today, during the day, let's take a few moments, take a few nice deep centering breaths. Because when you focus on your breath, you're focused on the moment. It can change your life.
Wow. Wow.
How was that?
Honestly, I'm going to be very, very honest with our listeners. My hands were tingling from that. So I don't know what you just did, but it's impressive. And you're very talented at what you do. So I hope all of our listeners enjoyed this as much as I did. It's always a pleasure talking to you for many, many different reasons. So again, check Robert Pell out. Thank you again, Robert, for taking the time to do this with us. We'll have you back again. I think you are extremely talented in a lot of areas, and take him up on his offer on giving you guys this offer of Refocus 50, and we'll put that on our website. Thank you again.
My pleasure. It's great seeing you again, Angela.
Absolutely.
This podcast is sponsored by A. Stevens & Associates, an executive search firm that places C-suite executives in the pharmaceutical, biotech, consumer, food, and nutrition industries. You can find more at astevensandassociates.com.